more exciting, don't they? I'm going to do another Periscope. I don't know if you guys have followed me at all on Periscope, but I found a way to vent all that shit that I usually vent here. And I suppose I could vent it here, but I just think that, you know, you guys, most of you guys don't subscribe to hear me run my fucking sometimes, but not always, liberal yap. I mean, when it comes to this kind of shit, you know, the thing that went down in Brussels, dude, anybody that remembers me during the Iraq fucking war, and I don't fucking apologize for that shit ever, never, ever, never. The invasion of Iraq was fucking right on. That's exactly what that part of the world needed. The problem was, there wasn't the follow-through. I understand that President Obama had his thing. Hey, a lot of shit to deal with. He took a calculated risk. He decided that perhaps it would work a different way. He made a mistake. He didn't do the right thing. Let me tell you something, man. There's plenty of motherfucking mistakes to go around to every last swinging fucking dick, Republican and Democrat, over the last goddamn 10, 15 years than you can shake a fucking stick at, man. So anybody that plays that fucking game with me, man, I ram that shit right back up their fucking ass. That whole, well, you know, but Obama, man, I'll park that motherfucker right back up your fucking ass, because nobody, I say, all of a sudden I'm sounding like those guys on the Spinal Tap tape, you know, the trogs. Right up your fucking ass! I got into it today with a friend of mine when I said, fantastic, man. Keep alienating the fucking Muslim community. They will have no reason to give us intel or information or anything about the movement of terrorists. Thanks a lot, Trump. That's what I tweeted. And my friend comes back with, this is not the time or place. Let the families grieve. I go, no, man. You're not going to get, you don't get away with that one. You don't get away with that one, motherfuckers. You don't get away with that when you are so ready to jump all over fucking Obama, no matter what the occasion, and politicize the shit out of that. You know, we're still friends, but this bullshit about he's in Havana, he should be back on a plane, Fleming. Trump. All right, anyway. Oh, God. Dumb. And we also got people who, all the propaganda about Hillary Clinton, all the bullshit about Hillary Clinton, and that's what it is, bullshit. The Benghazi, where's the, you know, you can hope and pray and pull your motherfucking dick all you want over that shit. This is the FBI now looking into this thing. I haven't heard about any charges. Not yet. I also haven't heard about... So anybody saying that there was criminal, you don't know your motherfucking ass from a hole in the ground. You wait for the fucking FBI to weigh in. Anybody saying there was criminal activity. Ted Cruz, the same thing with your little yapping motherfucking Cuban mouth. God damn it. Anybody says any of that shit, you know... You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And if you don't like her, you don't like her. Don't give the shit about how she's oily and shifty and all this other shit. Name a fucking politician that isn't, including motherfucking Ronald Reagan. I got news for a lot of you guys. I was fucking there when Reagan was president. I was an adult. I knew what was happening. I didn't just fucking check into this bullshit like the guys that are running for president right now. What was fucking Ted Cruz? He was a fucking teenager. He didn't know his motherfucking ass from a hole in the ground about anything. And also that fucking Rubio motherfucker. Oh, yeah, man. I remember Reagan with his fucking, guns for hostages bullshit. I remember Oliver North, that law-breaking piece of shit. You want to get really nasty and mean, and just the way people get nasty and mean about Obama? Well, let's get nasty and mean about the Reagan administration. Oliver North was a law-breaking motherfucking sack of shit. I don't give a fuck if he was a fucking Marine. And by the way, that brings me to another thing. I saw a fantastic video. It was the soldiers there at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And they will tell you to shut your fucking mouth if you're running your mouth too much. They will, you know, march, turn, present arms, and basically tell you to shut the fuck up. Oh, they do it in a very nice way. They say... it is requested that you show respect and quiet, you know, because there were some stupid-ass tourists, and they were Americans, because I could hear their voices, yapping and laughing, and you know, had no idea, no appreciation for where they were. And he turned. Somebody said, yeah, that's love to see the Marines open up a can of whoop-ass. Well, hate to break the news, asshole. That's not a Marine, that's Army. That's the 3rd... Regiment, 3rd Infantry Regiment, Old Guard is what they call them. That's Army. Love the Marines. Bless them, you know, for all that they've meant to this country. But the guys that are on duty there are the old fucking guard, the United States Army. And if you don't know what a fucking Army uniform looks like as opposed to a Marine uniform, quit fucking, you know, talking about it. And I saw the comment by a guy there who said, he said, I was in the Army. He said, I was in the Army 22 years. He said, love the Marines, but he said, Marines make movies, Army makes history. I thought, well, that's the first really good little kind of shot on the Marine Corps that I've ever heard. However, the Marine Corps is a elite unit, and but I thought it was interesting that it was naturally assumed that that was Marines. All right, my family is Canadian Defense Forces Army, although when my father was in the Canadian Army, it was the Canadian Army, and my brother's the United States Navy. And I was the fucking hippie. And that's just how that fucking tune was played, you know. I was the hippie, and I'm still a hippie in a lot of ways, but I have learned an appreciation for where I am, my country, and I do have a great deal of affection and love for this country, and, you know. But I'm not, I like to think I'm not fucking stupid. And no, liberals are not all stupid, and that's another one I'll park right back up the fucking ass of any motherfucking conservative that wants to debate it face-to-face. See, this Twitter debates. Forget it. You want to debate it face-to-fucking-face, I'll leave you, as the saying goes, where I fucking find you on this shit. I mean, intellectually, you know, in a debate mode. But you will not survive me when it comes to 90% of this shit, because I know where the fucking bodies are buried. I know all the bullshit that has been spewed for all the fucking years. All these arguments that these motherfuckers are making now, I want to laugh. I've heard this shit so much, I think I'm going to fucking cry. All this shit, starting with the bullshit that Trump is spewing. The immigration stuff, old hat, old school bullshit. The tariff wars, the trade wars, how things get paid, deficits. Let me tell you who ran up deficits, Ronald Reagan. Let me tell you who raised taxes, Ronald Reagan. Now, don't give me your shit about how it's different the way he did it from the way that Obama or anybody else. And don't give me this shit about Obama's bailout. That's the most dishonest thing in the history of the fucking world. And I cannot believe that there are people alive who know what happened. That thing was favored by every swinging fucking dick in Washington, just about, including those motherfucking Republicans. So don't give me this shit about how, you know, Obama's bailout. I saw those goddamn cocksuckers on Fox, that fucking bowling motherfucker. That guy was talking it up like it was the greatest fucking thing. The American people, why, we'll own a piece of, you know, railroads, we'll have a piece of the American people, we'll have a piece of all these things. That's a pretty good portfolio. I remember you bowling, you lying cocksucker. You know, so don't give me your shit. Go fucking tell somebody else this bullshit. Goddamn, ugh. That's on the conservative thing. But then the liberal side, you know. People tell me about how they were against the war in Iraq. Well, you must, I don't know, you know, that's like how many people were at Woodstock. Oh, I was at Woodstock. Oh, I was against the war. Bull fucking shit. Almost 80% of the American people were in favor of that motherfucking war before the tanks and the shock and awe rolled in. Give me this shit. There's a whole lot of motherfuckers out there that have just all of a sudden changed their fucking tune on this thing, including that goddamn Donald fucking Trump. It would destabilize the Middle East. You know, Trump, I know you like to suck the dicks of fucking dictators and your Arab friends down there in the kingdom of Dubai. When he had to think of the great airports of the world, he said our airport was a third world airport. And when he started talking about the first world airports, he went to Dubai, Kuwait. You know, this is where that guy travels, in these, you know, inordinately wealthy countries that are fucking monarchies, that have got all this fucking oil money and do not reflect the real motherfucking world that you and I live in, or possibly sometimes that Trump lives in, ever. The fuck is he talking about, you know, in Dubai and Kuwait, these are great fucking airports. And we have third world airports. No, I've been in third world airports, Trump. What are you talking about, motherfucker? I've been in third world fucking airport. You want to go to the third world airport? Go to the fucking Caribbean, there, you know. You know, they're not as spit and polish as you like them, Trump. You know, you got your own goddamn fucking jet, but they work about as good as they're going to fucking work until we figure out how to pay for all the shit that every motherfucker wants, including goddamn fucking Republicans and conservatives and guys who say they don't want to spend any more money. Now, that fucking cruise, that motherfucker has got to be stopped. That piece of shit, as soon as he's elected president, he's, and I love that whole, I'll repeal every word of Obamacare. And what are you going to replace it with, Cruz? The answer with Ted Cruz is, he ain't going to replace it with anything, because he has no real feeling. See, as a psychopath, that guy doesn't really feel. He pretends like he feels. So that motherfucker is just going to repeal it, and everybody can go and suck fucking ass for all he cares. He didn't give a shit. Ted Cruz is a conservative. Conservative principles, and he's also, more dangerously, I hate to say this, he's one of these fundamentalist Christians. And what does that mean? It means that even America comes second to... You talk about that whole bullshit about Kennedy being a Catholic. We ought to fucking vet some of these motherfuckers that come out and say they're Christian. Where is your loyalty? Ted Cruz's loyalty is to his religion, not his country. Because as soon as that piece of shit becomes president, God forbid, he's already said he'll move the U.S. Embassy to fucking Jerusalem. And guess what that means? Well, do you really need me to tell you? That means that's an open invitation to war. I don't give a fuck what's right, what's wrong, what is. Ted Cruz, and that's fine. That's okay. You know, we haven't moved the embassy there for a variety of reasons, most of which we didn't want to piss off the fucking Arab street, you know. But if Ted Cruz thinks the time has come to fight an open war in the Middle East with the, whoever, the radicals and the Islamists and the, you know, pan-Arabic socialists and whoever else is down there, that's all right. But now I know what a lying motherfucker he is, and all of the fucking conservatives when they talk about how broke we are and how we don't have this, we don't have that, we can't afford this and we can't afford that. That piece of shit wants to wage a fucking foreign war on a land thousands and thousands of miles away from America that you cannot make the case that this is somehow it immediately is a threat to the United States' interests and well-being. That's something that he wants to provoke because Ted Cruz believes in the biblical meeting of the armies in the Middle East. He believes in that whole fucking Armageddon thing. Ted Cruz wants to make that shit happen. I don't think that he really does, but I think what Ted Cruz really wants to do is just exercise the power of a president, because I bet you he fucking beats off every night thinking about that shit. One of the things about Ted Cruz, there's a videotape online or a film online about Ted Cruz, and in it, he's a teenager. And in it, he's asked, well, what else do you want? And at the very end, he says, I don't know, world domination. And that's a kind of a typical teenage thing to say. But when I put that thing with Ted Cruz, when I take that phrase and I put it in context with all the other fucking weird shit that that guy is about, that's pretty scary. That tells me right there was a fucking a road sign or a signpost, that signpost up ahead, having to do with his psychopathy. Rob Ford has passed on, the Toronto mayor that everybody liked to make fun of. Now everyone is saying, oh, gee, he was a great guy. Yeah, huh? I guess I don't have a whole lot of patience for a lot of bullshit here today. Bob Eberling. That's a great name. Bob Eberling. A great name for an engineer, isn't it? He was the Challenger engineer who forewarned of a shuttle disaster, possibly, dead at 89. So he would have been in his late 50s when he was an engineer at NASA. And the Challenger, we know, was... January. So it was, 86. I'll never forget. I had just finished. I was lifting free weights. So I would have been 33 years old. And I had weights in my living room. I had a duplex in Sierra Madre, California. And I don't know. I must have been in between girlfriends or some shit. No, I know what. I was just about ready to, I don't know what I was doing. Oh, I was going to go to work for one of the satellite companies. And later on, I would go to work for KMET in its waning days, and then I went to work for KLSX as one of the early incarnations of classic rock. But I was lifting weights in those days. I used to do, you know, curls and shoulders and chest and stomach and all that shit. And I just got done, and I looked at the TV, and it was a USA Network newscast. I used to watch new at USA Network because, you know, the cable offerings were somewhat limited. And they went to Cape Canaveral and showed the Challenger. Pretty powerful shit, man. So that's Bob Eberling, huh? Oh, Bob. Now, let me entertain you. Engineer Leon, who blamed himself? He blamed himself? Well, I'm going to have to see this one. Shirtless cyclist interrupts interview to challenge Nate Robinson in a game of one-on-one. Last name was signed with the Israeli basketball club, Tel Aviv, which made so many fans sing his name when he arrived at the airport during an interview with Israel's Sport 5, one fan in particular wasn't afraid to go up to Robinson and challenge him in a one-on-one. By the way, this man was shirtless and on his bike when this happened. Well, I'll be a motherfucker.
I know how hard I play. I know how hard everything is. What's up, Nate?
What's up, bro?
I want to play with you one-on-one.
When?
When do you want? If you have money, we play one-on-one.
When?
I beat Farmer, beat Ochayon, beat everybody in Maccabi.
That's Farmer, that's not me.
Ask Raviv Limonad, who is Raz Nissim Cohen.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
We play one-on-one.
One-on-one.
You have a video, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, bro.
Oh, you
that's,
loving that?
Now that's an interview. That's an interview. It's awesome. It's the first time ever somebody's done that. Sick. So cool. Fans are great. How can you be mad at that?
Hey, kick your ass, baby.
How come he don't play?
I play in Division 2 and the next year I play in Division 1 and I kick your ass, baby.
Nice and fit young man right there, man.
That sounds like a challenge.
It does sound like a challenge. I'll bust his ass.
You got to. You love that? That's Israeli television. That's fucking rock. That fucking rocks, man. I love that. That's fucking great.
I know how hard I play. I know how hard everything is.
What's up, Nate?
What's up, bro?
Check it out, man.
I want to play with you one-on-one.
When?
When do you want? If you have money, we play one-on-one.
When?
I beat Farmer, beat Ochayon, beat everybody in Maccabi.
That's Farmer, Danny that's Farmer. Not me.
Raviv Limonad, who is Raz Nissim Cohen.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
We play one-on-one.
One-on-one.
You have a video, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, bro.
That's Israel.
Now that's an interview. That's an interview. It's awesome.
What the
it's
fuck?
The first time ever somebody's done that.
What the fuck, man? That is fucked up.
So cool. Fans are great. How can you be mad at that?
Hey, kick your ass, baby.
How come he don't play?
I play in Division 2 and the next year I play in Division 1 and I kick your ass, baby.
Nice and fit young man right there, man.
That sounds like a challenge.
It does sound like a challenge. I'll bust his ass.
Word. Boink. You love that? That's bitching. That's never happened in the States, you know. But I guess it could happen in a place like Israel or Italy or any place that has sort of a lower rung basketball world, you know. I mean, these cats are playing in, you know, just kind of a little bit lower down the... down the line, you know. So much bad news, man. Really bad news. A lot of bad news. A lot of ugly news. Really ugly news. Ugly! The Congressional Medal of Ugly! I'm thinking of a way to do this iPhone story. Steve Ozell, All right, now I gotta get me a drink, man. You know what I'm saying? I got to get me a fucking Coca-Cola or some shit, you know? I can't be going into this here show without a Coca-Cola. What is that, man? 21 minutes? All right, hold the fucking phone here. Be right back. Let's see here. Be right back, man. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Chitty ching ching, could buy anything. Cop that calories. 3 degrees low, make it happen.
It's your favorite song. Translation, when I keep my me, I see culo. Tu quiero que me huevo, si papi mores, espero chupa ese puto bendejo, el pinche cabrón. Let's get it nice like this, I'm a knight like this. Sword in my hand, I fight like this, and I'm more than a man, I'm a god. Bitch, touche on guard. Toupe trap and a true tits pop out of that tank top and bra. And when I say do, 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 bitch, that BK dog. She wants some more of this, I give her more of this. I owe her this, I fuck her when she missed the way I flow.
Oh, man, fuck, fuck, dude. Houston partners, drop a four of this. All right.
All right, let me blow this.
Get out. Shut up. Fuck off. What is this?
I've been messing around with a voice, you know. I've been messing around with his voice. And like, this is a voice that I used to hear in the cartoons. Like that. I don't know about Bugsy, you know, like that. But I've decided to use the voice as an intelligent guy who would talk about things more coherently. But you would understand, for instance... If he was had a level of intelligence that the Challenger was a terrible disaster, you know, and I broke wind, and what happened was, it just sounds ridiculous, but I had a gas problem. Well, this wafted into the cab
Is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke. So, it wafted up into the cab. I remember we were having fun, and this is one of the reasons. It sounds stupid, but I had a bad gas problem, and I had to release the gas, and...
This sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, this sounds like a horse dung. All right. I mean, if you...
It sounds like a fart joke.
It involves farts, but it's not a joke.
Well, all right, go ahead. Tell the story.
All right. And the smell went into the cab.
It's ridiculous. I think I'd like to use it, though, for that one guy. I don't know.
That's a tough one.
Oh, this is the story. I didn't print this off. It was very funny, though. Shirtless cyclist.
Baby. On a laying versus though, I'd rather lay with you, baby.
Who's fucking wearing these goddamn god-awful uniforms? What the fuck is this about anyway, man? What? Why were they doing that? Oh, shit, I can't see it now. Fucking, that was the Ravens. They're in these gold uniforms with gold helmets. What is with this uni-color look? I mean, fine. I think it looks, it's an interesting look, but it also looks a little bit like you're wearing your pajamas. But hey, it's fascinating. Ding, ding. Ring-a-ding-ding. Ding. I'm just thinking here. I'm just thinking. You think I'm just fucking around? I'm not. I'm thinking. I'm trying to come up with a good way to do with this one.
I think that there's very little I do think.
I think it shows a level. I'd like to see that young man really put a beating on that man to right up in the middle of an interview like that. I would put a beating on him. You know, there's no question I would do that. Well, you don't go up to Nate Robinson, a young man who had just signed with Hapoel Tel Aviv, was the other team that they had, and right up to this man, I would put a beating on him that he would never forget, as long as he lives.
We are almost ready here. Just got a funny thought. That goddamn gym thing that we did the other day with, I forget who it was, but sounded like he was going to fucking have a hernia. That's one. Here we go. Jeff Dowder and Dr. Emmy Clayton. All right. I think we're set, man. What am I going to do? Okay, DraftKings, Blue Apron, DraftKings, Blue Apron, DraftKings, Blue Apron. Beginning, man. DraftKings.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. Okay, ready?